The big Hollywood show of the year is here.
This is like a quality production.
Sorry, gang, we had a slight technical problem.
And we're in business.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. They'll beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. I want to remind you to listen this hour to win a $25 Norm's gift card and qualify for your shot to roll like a VIP in Las Vegas. Next hour, Psychedelic Furs tickets. Going to talk some local politics, things you should know and ways you're getting ripped off by this city. Because we talk enough about how the federal government rips us off. We're going to segue the 11 o'clock hour to show you closer to home. The things that are ripping you off. Did you see the CNN town hall last night, or did you listen to it on our station, 800-222-5222? I want to get your take on that. My take is that, look, those kids are victims, and I get it. I get the emotion there. But I wanted to see that. I wanted to see what the conversation would be. And it was really like the entire audience was there to club Marco Rubio like a baby seal. He's the only Republican who showed up. And they were booing and interrupting, and it was very emotional. But I want to see the conversation move forward. I'm open to hearing suggestions. I'm open to hearing ways that we can move this conversation forward and have compromise, if that is even possible. The president did a listening session. Let me tell you what he came out with, and then we'll take your calls, because I want to hear your take on the town hall and also where we're moving toward on assault weapons, because I saw Wayne LaPierre. I was fascinated. Boy, is he good. He is really a superstar. I see why he's run that organization for as long as he has, because he doesn't deviate. There's a zero tolerance policy, and he adheres to it. And I'll tell you some of the things he said just in case you didn't hear it. But they had families at the listening session. He floated some ideas which apparently surprised some White House aides. Reopening some of the mental institutions shuttered in the 70s to house worrisome teens who have not committed any crimes, arming teachers or other school officials. And what do you think about that? The arming teachers. Good idea, bad idea, 800-222-5222. Promise to tighten restrictions for background and mental health checks for those looking to buy weapons. And, the big one was talking about arming teachers. The problem with arming teachers, the reality of that is almost every teacher organization says there's no way this is happening. Our teachers should be here to teach. We're not going to start arming teachers and putting that responsibility on them. And it sets up a very weird relationship. The underlying is you can't have a teacher hit you in school, but you can have them shoot you in school at this point if you're arming them. But don't discipline my kid with a hand slap. Marco Rubio, the big thing about Marco Rubio being there was that he kind of shifted his attitude on a bunch of stuff. And he pushed back on what the president said. He said he doesn't believe we should arm teachers. He's looking at the stocks, how many bullets you should be able to buy, how many magazines, you should be able to use, the amount of force you should be able to use. So he broke with the president on whether armed teachers, said it was a bad idea, said he would favor raising the minimum age to purchase an assault rifle from 18 to 21, and he said he would consider restricting the size of magazines and firearms. So, and Rubio is known to be a strong supporter of the NRA. Now, let me shift into Wayne LaPierre, because this was fascinating to me. Wayne LaPierre got up at the CPAC conference and got up, big applause, and he shredded the media. He took on the Democrats. He took on the FBI. There's a conspiracy to take away your guns. I mean, it was really amazing how he talked about, basically, if you're not for assault weapons, you're not really a great American. And that opportunists exploit this tragedy, and the media smear the NRA, and it's really about more government control and taking away our individual freedom, making government bigger. He said he cares about our kids, but apparently the Democrats don't. For them, it's a political issue to eliminate the Second Amendment and all individual freedoms, more restrictions for law-abiding citizens, make you less free. So he makes this, he doesn't talk about the issue, he doesn't talk about assault weapons, he talks about, as I said the other day, it's about branding for them. It's an issue. My question to you, and I'd love somebody to address this, is How do 5 million NRA members out of 245 million Americans who are 18 plus, how does the NRA decide what the gun issue? How do they drive this entire issue when they have 3% of the population? They drive the gun agenda with 4 or 5 million members, but there's over 300 million Americans. How are they? And there are a lot of Americans who are gun owners who don't agree with the NRA, are not members of the NRA. So how do they get to drive that agenda? And they do. I always ask, and you should ask too, what do they want? What does Wayne LaPierre want? What is he there for? What is his whole goal in life? What is his mission? Is it our best interest? Is it really about America's rights? Is it really about freedom? Or is it the fact that in 2015, Wayne LaPierre made $5,051,249 being the head of the NRA? That is a big paycheck. And he's a great spokesman for the NRA because, again, zero tolerance. But then how do you have the discussion? He wants to arm more guards at schools. The schools, by the way, a lot of the schools that we're talking about had armed guards. So, and then do you arm them with the same kind of weaponry that the attacker would come to the school with? So he really said the Democrats politicize the issue, and then he goes on to politicize the issue. He said they don't want to protect kids on their radio show. Let me grab this real quick. On the NRA radio show, or TV show, excuse me, the TV network last night, Colin Noir said that the mainstream media craves mass shootings and killing sprees, which give them a chance to call for gun control. So, I mean, the whole thing is pitting them against us. So the discussion can't be, what's the best thing for us to do? What are the things that we should look at? Mental health wise, gun stock wise, assault weapon wise. It's fascinating. And if you start looking at other countries, Germany said, they had a professor on yesterday who said it was the first worst proposal. And he said, based on academic research, the presence of firearms can trigger dangerous reactions among certain people. Instead of deterring them, weapons may actually trigger violent fantasies. The idea of arming teachers in Germany would be unthinkable. What they do is they tested a preventative approach, because he said there are ways to spot students' unusual behavior before they become shooters. And he said the German experiment was a success, and they've done some of this in the United States too at certain schools. So he said, why is the U.S. now debating arming teachers instead of implementation of prevention methods that have already been working? In Switzerland, where they claim the world's highest ratio of firearms per person in remote, even in remote areas, country debated measures to prevent school shootings. What they did was they favored more comprehensive measures over easy fixes like storing weapons in classrooms, and so far no student has gone on a shooting spree there. And apart from training teachers to detect possible signs of a willingness to commit a shooting, some Swiss police have also introduced software designed to spot unusual behavior online. So they're using that. They're also using that in Germany. And there are other methods and measures that they are using in other countries that we can possibly do. And I had the profiler on the other day. She said what you want to do is identify the student and interact with them a lot so that they know you're there. Swiss authorities, they have a list of 2,000 individuals they suspect of being willing to commit shootings. All of them are frequently approached by authorities along with psychologists. And they've also attempted to set up government-led national networks dedicated to spotting potential attackers and to stop them before they can pursue their plans in Germany, and they also have some psychological testing. Now, again, their laws are different. They're not dealing with the Constitution that we have, but there are ways to do this. But when you're up against big money and you're up against somebody a daunting problem, is Wayne LaPierre really does, like I said, man, he rallied the troops at CPAC today. Again, who's it good for? Nevertheless, he really does an us and them mentality. He really, really makes it seem like if we give one inch, goodbye Second Amendment. Michael in Long Beach, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. Yeah, I was watching that town hall. You know, that Peter, on that, you know, the lad, Dana Lash last night. What she said was, interesting, that the Rifle Association, they put out a 235-page, document stating what safety measures that these schools can do. And when she said only 158 districts have implemented that, it was fascinating.
Well, it goes by school district to school district what they choose to implement. And I haven't seen the document. I'm going to look at the document and see what's in there and see what they're proposing. But again, their whole goal in life is to sell guns. That's what they do, and to, again, keep guns out there and make money for the gun companies. That's who they are. They're a lobbying group, and the lobbying groups are just like the pharmaceutical lobby groups, which say that we should not let Medicare negotiate our prices, just like the Wall Street lobbying groups. They got a nice bailout. I mean, look at the big lobbying groups that don't necessarily have your best interest in mind and what their agenda is and what your agenda is. So it's interesting that she showed up, but I guess they had to have somebody there from the NRA. And
yeah,
Mark, what's that?
I give her a lot of credit, her and Rubio. They knew they were going into the lion's den that last night, and they showed up.
You know what? I also give them credit for showing up. I wanted to see a conversation. I didn't want to see just booing. I wanted to hear a well-thought-out conversation, well-thought-out question. I would have just asked her point-blank, is this a conversation or is this zero tolerance? You can't give an inch, so you're not even talking about assault weapons. Let's forget everything else. Let's just talk about assault weapons and how they go in the body. I just read a report from one of the surgeons who treated some of the victims. He said he treats gunshot wounds all the time. And you go in there, and it's like a straight line through an organ, and you can treat it. He said this, livers, kidneys are gone. They're gone. This completely tears up the body. There was nothing he could do to a liver, nothing he could do for a kidney, because it's gone. It's torn up. It's an implement of war. We should be able to, by the way, if you have a good reason, tell me the reason why we should have them, but at least have the conversation. Don't refuse to even talk about it, and then talk about the FBI and the surveillance state that's going to take away your guns and kind of deflect that way. But she did have a hard job. I wish there wasn't so much booing, and I wish the intent of that room was not to, like I said, club Marco Rubio like a baby seal, because he was the only Republican willing to actually discuss it and make some comments. The only point where he kind of waffled was that when they asked him, would you be willing to not take NRA money? Well, you ask a congressman about not taking anybody's money, and you're not going to have a real good answer. But thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Tony in Baldwin Park, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, I'm a conservative Republican. I own a gun. I own a handgun. And I can't figure out any reason why someone, primarily in an urban environment, needs a semi-automatic weapon other than the police department. Now, but I think we can't get to even first base because we've got ridiculous laws, like in Chicago, have the strictest gun laws in the country, and people are killing each other left and right. We've got to shift this discussion where the Dems are open and respect the fact that Americans can own handguns, and the Republicans can come to the table and realize, what do you need a semi-automatic weapon for?
You're exactly right, but we can't. They have so politicized the argument. And like I said, the NRA won't let you. They won't give an inch on this. And the question I have, too, is when they say, I want to arm teachers, you're going to arm teachers in Chicago? You're going to arm teachers in the inner city in Philadelphia? You're going to arm teachers all over America? Is that your intent, and how? And you know what? Even trained professionals, I've had them on the show for years, say when a shooting occurs, even if you're trained all the time, you're going to the fight flight mode, and it's a mess. It's not, a trained professional has a hard enough time, let alone a teacher who's going to be confronting that, and then the liability of having a teacher do it, the accidents that can happen, and what kind of weapon, could it be, and where do you lock it up? And a lot of kids won't be deterred because they're there for revenge, or by suicide by cop. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to take the discussion, even out of the educational realm or the campus of schools, just in general in America, the Dems won't even give an inch either. The Dems need to accept the fact that Americans should have the right to own a gun.
Well, do you think? Well, let me ask you a question.
I'm not talking about semi-automatic. It's ridiculous.
I don't agree. I don't think I agree, because maybe I'm not hearing the same thing you are. You think the Democrats want to do what? Take away the second? Take away everybody's got 300 million guns that are out there? They're going to collect 300 million guns?
It's not what I think. What they convey through cities like Chicago, where outright bans, like the city of Washington D.C. If you allow that, then that's going to be the message that that's what the end result is going to be.
Well, remember,
if the Democrats come to the table and accept the fact Americans have the right to own a gun, but that's not a bazooka, okay? And so I think that first has to happen, and then we have to get the Republicans also to admit nobody needs a semi-automatic weapon.
Tony, let me ask you, you're a gun owner. Are you an NRA member?
I think I am. I think I subscribe. But
you don't know if you're paying dues? You don't know if you're paying dues or not?
Well, you know, it's called the National Rifle Association, not the National Uzi Association. Right?
All right, so let me ask you this question. How do 4 million or 5 million members of that association get to drive the entire gun agenda for 300 million Americans?
Because nobody wants to have a sincere discussion about differentiate between a handgun and a semi-automatic.
Well, and because the NRA won't let the conversation even begin because they don't want to differentiate between them, because then they've given up an inch. So that conversation's not even going to happen. Tony,
I blame the NRA and I blame the Dems.
You know what? Everybody politicizes everything. And you know the bigger issue that we're not addressing? Is the big money in government. That Wall Street, they don't have your interest. They don't have your interest in mind. Well, the big question is, when you see somebody propose something, say, what is in it for them? What's in it for us? Do you realize when you look at the corporations and the industry-specific regulations and all the subsidies that are out there, what happens in America is the wealthy corporations and the wealthy folks are looking for cuts. And then the middle class gets hit with, and ordinary citizens get cut with social welfare programs being cut and ordinary Americans having stuff taken away and cut. They run the gamut from determining the infrastructure and insufficient funds for public stuff because it may not be good for the Coke industries. They're not ideological. They want to expand their market advantage. That's what they're about. They're into business. The oil and gas companies and their lobbyists, they're not looking for us to help us. Those industries, they want to oppose climate change and they want to protect valuable leases that they have. I mean, look at read what their lobbyists want and see when it lines up with you. So companies lobby for weak regulations and direct subsidies. That's what they want. And they don't want challengers, so they want to own it all. And then in Washington, you have the revolving door of politicians who then go into lobbying because they go from getting everything paid for free and making $200,000 a year to making $3 million a year and lobbying for the groups that they most supported. So until we get money out of Washington, the economics of this are not in our favor, okay? Politicians demand money because it helps them win elections and secure power, and the lobbyists provide that money. And the lobbyists, by the way, even provide the expertise because most congressional staff has young staffers working there, 6 or 8, and they use the lobbyists' expertise to write the bills to come in and tell them what to do. Is that a problem? I think that's a big problem. And that's why these lobbying groups that do not necessarily have your best interests in mind survive the way they do. I'm going to play some clips from Wayne LaPierre so you can hear that too. And also, if you didn't get to hear Marco Rubio last night, it was kind of interesting. And then Noel in Santa Monica, I'll take your call and everybody else, 800-222-5222, when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. And guess what? KBC gives you a chance to roll like a VIP in Vegas, which includes 2 upfront tickets to see Jennifer Lopez during her residency at Planet Hollywood, 2 nights in the newly renovated rooms at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, dinner at a Cafe Hollywood, a gas card, and spending cash. If you're the 7th caller right now on our new contest line, which is 888-790-5222, you can win a $25 gift card to Norm's and get in the running to roll like a VIP in Vegas. So good luck with that. Noel, I'm going to talk to you in a minute. Noel in Santa Monica, if you can hang on just till after the news, I'll get to you because I want to give you enough time because we're almost there at the news at this point. I'll tell you what the president said about the NRA. We can talk more about big money corrupting the economy and why we can't have this kind of conversation. And also, some other things that Marco Rubio suggested and some others are suggesting after the listening sessions yesterday. Get your reaction, 800-222-5222. But let's do the news right here. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. The phone number, 800-222-5222. Love to talk it about what we're talking about or whatever's on your mind. But first, I want to congratulate John in Pico Rivera. He won a $25 gift card to Norm's, where, of course, life happens. And he's in the running for the trip to Vegas to see Jennifer Lopez. Her All I Have final residency is running now through September 29th. Next chance to win at noon with Dr. Drew and Lawrence Chavon. And John has never won anything before in his life. So I'm glad I was able to break the curse for you there, John. So we're talking about the NRA. We're talking about the discussion last night, the CNN town hall. Marco Rubio did show up. He said this, and I'll get right to you now. I just want to play this clip, and I'll pick up the phone.
I don't support that. I think I join everyone here in saying what you've done is incredible heroism. It reminds us that teachers are heroes every day, not just on these days, investing in the lives of all of our students. And I think that bears saying. I don't support that. And I would admit to you right now, I answer that as much as a father as I do as a senator. The notion that my kids are going to school with teachers that are armed with a weapon is not something that, quite frankly, I'm comfortable with. Beyond it, I think it has practical problems.
So there you go. Broke with the president. And I just saw, it just said that the president's talked to the NRA and they're going to do things. I don't know what things they're going to do or what they're going to agree to do. But it will be interesting to see, because Dwayne LaPierre I saw speak today didn't look like he had any intention of any compromise or doing anything. Noel, thank you for holding so long. You're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. What do you want to say?
Good morning. You're welcome. First, I think that there's a combination of issue of trust and fear. The trust issue relates to, and this, I'm not singling out any one party, left or Democrat or Republican. However, for instance, we just were sold a national insurance, health insurance policy by Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama, who said, you have to read this, we have to sign this and buy it before you read it, and then you can keep your doctor. So, I don't trust those people and the people in it on the other side of the, and the Democrats. I own, sidearms. I own an AR-15. Somebody says, well, what do you need an AR-15 for? Well, I don't trust those people asking that question. And the reason is because the AR-15 in the semi-automatic, state of operation or mode is no different than a 9mm as far as lethalness. Because if somebody goes into a crowded area with a 9mm with a bunch of clips, they can kill, you know, there's no armed resistance.
Oh, so let me tell you, only for time, Noel. So what you're saying is you think we should keep assault weapons because they're the same as the other gun, which can shoot almost the same amount of, is that what you're saying? That, or is the rationale here, if I give that up, they're going to come and ask me to give up other guns too?
Well, the next question would be, and there's also the fear issue, but if the answer is yes, you're right, I don't need an AR-15, okay? Then the question is, well, why do you need a semi-automatic pistol? The kid that shot dead 30, I think it's 31 or 33 students at Virginia Tech used a 9mm.
So
the other issue.
So, well, let me interrupt there for a second. So sure. If you have a gun for home security and safety, you have a gun for hunting, you have a gun for almost any, it's a sport shooting, whatever it is, why do we need the weapons that will fire? And like I said, I read this doctor's report, which just devastates you when you read what those guns did to those kids. There was no saving the kids who were shot up because their organs are just torn up. They're gone. It's not like a bullet that goes through you. These are weapons. They're weapons of war. And we've got to look at this and say, why do we need them? Now, you're making a point because you think that somebody's going to say the next gun is going to go and the next gun is going to go and the next gun is going to go. So we have to have that conversation. The problem is with the NRA, which is, I started the show saying they represent 5 million people, but somehow they're doing policy for 300 million Americans because they've bought into the politics in a big way. We're never going to have that discussion because they're never going to discuss it.
Well, it depends on the round that you use. If you used a hollow point bullet, you know, depending on the round you used, you can create horrible, you know.
I got it. Look, no, just for time, because I do have to go. I appreciate your holding. I appreciate your point. I appreciate your honesty saying they're going to come for this, they're going to come for that. We have to have an honest discussion about what guns in this country are doing in these school shootings, in these massive, massive body counts, where they come out like the guy in Vegas, where they're taking out people, and really have a hard look at it and have the discussion. My problem right now is, if you heard Wayne LaPierre this morning, we're not going to have the discussion. There's zero discussion to be had there because they're in a zero tolerance mode. They will not even open it up for discussion because their whole job is it's an us against them mentality. And by the way, it's very interesting right now. Gun sales are down. I saw that Remington was going to do Chapter 11, and I hope I get the name right and somebody will correct me, but I'm looking right now in the news. Strum Ruger has cut 700 jobs in the last year due to plunging gun sales. What's going to happen now, however, after this, we will see a spurt in gun sales, I'm sure, because people will buy these AR guns not because they think they're going to go off the market, and because they think legislation is going to change. In the Trump era, all of a sudden sales were down. And Joe just handed me this. Santa Clarita Valley International School is on lockdown amid a threat investigation. This was 18 minutes ago. Specific details about the nature of the threat not immediately provided. No injuries reported at school at 28060 Hasley Canyon Road. A Facebook post from the school said administrators had locked the campus down to an unconfirmed threat that was received Thursday morning. School officials confirmed that deputies were on site investigating. I will keep you abreast of that situation as it develops. All right, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Till the 10 continues. Coming up, we're going to talk about stuff that's going on in your own backyard that's going to probably infuriate you about the way this city is being run, because we're giving a lot of national attention because of the shooting, because of the tax plan. But there's a lot going on right in our own backyard. Like Jack Humphreyville wrote a column calling LA's $1 billion giveaway. Who are we giving your billion dollars to? We'll find out right after the top of the hour. A funny thing just happened, though, if I may break the wall. I guess in radio, I don't know what wall it is. It's one wall. So I'm here doing these topics with some gravitas, and I'm looking at some responses to the CNN town hall last night. And Dino and Joe, my producer, are doing the show. They'll tell me stuff. They'll give me updates of what's going on. Out of nowhere, Dino in my headphones, as I'm prepping and I'm reading all this stuff, says, "Hey, do you tip a mariachi?" Where did that come from? So he needed to know that right away in the midst of all of this shooting, CNN tunnels. Hey, in my headphones, I just hear, "Hey, do you tip mariachis when they come to your table?" And I go, yeah, these guys, this is what they do for a living. They're putting on the big hats. They got to buy the outfits. The one guy has the giant guitar, which I never understood, which is the size of a cello or a bass. Did he grow up as a kid and say, "I want to play the biggest guitar in the world"? And they're practicing. They have to rehearse. They have to drive there. They got gas, the whole bit. So you come, they come up to your table and they play whatever they play. And it's a little embarrassing, especially if you're there with a woman who's not your wife, you know, that kind of stuff. And somebody wants to take a picture. And Dina goes, "Oh, I don't want to tip them because I didn't ask them to come to my table." So wave them away, Dino. If they come, when you go to when you go to a Mexican restaurant, you know what you should do? Buy those, you know, those things that light up that they use to, at the airport to back the plane in or move the plane up to the gate with the guy standing. Bring one of those. And when they come over, just flag the guy going, "Yeah, just move to the next table, keep it moving," or hold up a sign, have a laminated sign to say, "I don't pay for mariachis," mariachis with a zero and a line through. I can't believe in the midst of all of this, that was the big question. Do you tip mariachis when they come to your table? Yes, you do. And by the way, I challenge you not, if you don't, you're very cheap. 800-222-5222. You can talk about that. And I guess now the floodgates are open to talk about whatever you want. All right. 800-222-5222. We'll be right back. Talk Radio 790 KFC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. I'm so thrown off by Dino saying in my head, "Do you tip mariachis?" While I'm in the middle of talking about guns and I'm in legislation and lobbying, and what it reminded me, and look how the time's different. When I moved out here in 1989, 1990, there was a Mexican restaurant in the Marina. And I'm sitting there, and I don't drink. I'm not a margarita guy. I'm not a drink. Maybe once in a while I'll do like a light beer or something like that. So I'm sitting there, and the first time we go to this restaurant, a little person comes by the table, and they've got a giant sombrero on, and he's standing at the table. Forget mariachi. He's standing at the table. And I'm thinking, what is he standing at my table for? Why is he just standing there? And I realize in the giant sombrero, in the rim are chips. And they have hollowed out the center of the sombrero and put in guacamole. And I'm supposed to reach into his hat, take, I guess, a handful of chips and have him stand there while I'm basically dipping into his head. It was awkward then, but I guess he got a lot of tips. Today, I don't think that exists anywhere. 800-222-5222. Does that exist in any world today? Wow. But thank you, Dino. Thanks for throwing me off there. I really appreciate it. Back to the president for a moment. I see the breaking news here that the president proposes bonuses for teachers who get gun training. He said maybe we give them a little bit of a bonus. They'll frankly feel more comfortable having the gun anyway. I think that's going to be a non-starter, because I think every teaching group in the United States will say no to training teachers to have guns. They will say they're in the classroom just to teach. If you want that, hire another security guard. But he's going to get massive pushback, and massive pushback from the Democrats and even some in his own party. So floating that idea, fascinating, but I don't think most people want that. And remember, they did have guards at a lot of the schools that have been attacked. So we'll see what else they come up with after the listening sessions. I think there are going to be some more. Coming up, we're going to switch it up a little bit and go to L.A. and local politics in this $1 billion giveaway that you should know about and what's happening with all the money that we've given the city council to spend on homelessness. Is it working? A little bit of transparency there. We'll talk about that. Take your calls. I got psychedelic furs and more when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after the news. Talk Radio 790 KBC.